Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when strife cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the death of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other
calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Revelations chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, and can be found on page 1216 of your Pew Bible, or you can follow along on the screen behind me. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God's holy word.
In troubling times, we find safety and secure footing as we draw nearer to our God. Let us sing together number 392, Nearer, Still Nearer, and I invite you to rise as you are able. Seated.
I don't know if you've talked to anybody from 8 o'clock service, but I did an introduction to the sermon only about the same time as the service, and it kind of figures because I took most of Thursday to work on a very detailed PowerPoint to go along with my sermon, and we don't have enough time to get through it all. So you're going to get part one today. And it's a ruse, really, that you have to come back next Sunday to hear part two, or you can listen online or the radio and those kind of things. So We are going through the seven letters to the churches in Revelation. This is the fourth week of those letters, and those are coming from Revelation chapters 2 and 3. These seven cities of the seven churches are represented in this simple map of the western coastal area of Asia in biblical times. So, you know, we're 1, 2, 3, we're up there at 4, and we've got 3 to go. You can see we started with the ones along the coast, and now we're moving a little bit inland. And what that kind of means for the commerce or the focus of the city. So today it's Thyatira. I've had a couple of different people ask me, how are you supposed to pronounce that name? Linda gave me the wisest answer at 7:30 this morning. You pronounce it however you want, okay? I do not ever remember a college professor or a seminary professor telling me how to say Thyatira. So you go with what you say, because you pronounced it different this service than you did at 8 o'clock. Thyatira, the church, the Christian church in Thyatira is the addressee of this letter. It's a church known for commerce and for fashion. So they produced wool and linen and dyed cloth and clothing, leatherwork. And they were also known for much fine work in bronze. And each of those trades, each of those mediums had their own guild. A guild. And so that's kind of like a union in today's world. It was a network of people that did the same kind of work. Well, back in Thyatira, each of those guilds, that union of workers, they had a patron deity that each of them would revere, each of them would worship. So they, each of those guilds were worshiping a pagan god. And as we've looked at 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's this aspect of idolatry in each of the cities, but also it's creeping into the life of the church. In Acts 16, 14 is the account of Paul and his companions. They went outside the city of Philippi to find a place of prayer. And that often happened at the river. And so they walked towards the river, and they came across a group of women who were there praying. One of those women was Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth. And guess what her hometown was? Thyatira. Lydia is described as a worship of God, worshiper of God. And after hearing Paul's message, Lydia and her household were all baptized. The Lord, Paul opened up her heart to the Lord, and so she and her household were baptized. Since the verdict Christ has against the church in Thyatira is that of tolerance, before we actually get into the text of the letter, I want us to think about the concept of tolerance a bit this morning. Tolerance. In the aspect of the modern times in which we live, tolerance is held in contrast to absolute truth. There is a growing percentage of Americans who believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. So in today's world, one can hear such statements as, your beliefs and my beliefs are equal, and all truth is relative. We can also hear statements as, no one has the right to tell me what's right or wrong. What is wrong for one person is not necessarily wrong for someone else. Or you have to do what you think is right. Phrase is descriptive of the modern understanding of tolerance. Well, in the context of Revelation chapter 2, which is from the word of truth, God's holy word, the Bible, we have an awareness of both positive and negative tolerance. Tolerating one another's foibles and personality quirks and differences in opinion, tolerating, that's an aspect of positive tolerance. It draws from the true message of Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Positive. And then there is the negative aspect of tolerance. The need to avoid being tolerant of sin. Sin is something a Christian should never, under any circumstances, tolerate in the church or in our own lives. Tolerance of sin is never to be permitted. Christians must always work their hardest to rid themselves of any and all sin. Believers, we cannot live with an understanding that a small sin or an occasional vice is acceptable. For once you indulge, all then you have to do is confess and repent, and you'll be good to go. That's not true belief. We are supposed to have no sin in our lives. The saying I came across this week, I will repeat it a few times. If you tolerate sin in your life, that sin will not only take you farther than you wanted to go, it will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you thought you'd pay. If you tolerate sin in your life, that sin will not only take you farther than you wanted to go, it will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you thought you'd give. The toleration of sin. It's nothing new. It's part of our world, but it's also part of the churches that Christ was writing these seven letters to. Remember how each church has its own verdict, but each letter is for all seven churches. And as part of God's word, it's for all churches and all believers, all people, still today. We cannot tolerate sin. And yet, tolerance happens. Materialism, living for the world, living the way of the world. Complacency, just not caring. Focused on yourself and not others. That's not what Jesus Christ teaches. And I would love to pick out all those little sins that I'm aware of that everybody else commits, but I don't. I can't come up with that list because I'm a sinner as well. We're not supposed to tolerate any sin in our own life. And we'll be talking more about that next week. As you think about this week and whether you can make it back next Sunday or not, to thinking about this letter, and again, there's 7 points to each of the letters, and the next would be the speaker, who would be the Son of God. Jesus Christ himself, who preaches acceptance. Jesus preaches acceptance. Jesus came to love and to respect every person. Every person. But he did not tolerate sinful behavior. Go and sin no more, Jesus would say. So tolerance. It's bigger than that. We have to accept one another and our foibles and personality quirks and our different thoughts. There's not to be hatred. That's not what we're talking about, intolerance here. But we cannot tolerate the sin. We are not to look to approve of sin. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday.
Let us give our offerings to the Lord. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Thank you. Please bow your heads for prayer. Lord, you bless us in so many ways. Help us to recognize that and thank you for it. Accept these offerings and bless them so that your work is done here on earth. Praise be to you, God Almighty.
Our closing hymn is number 399 in the red hymnal, Higher Ground. After the spoken benediction, we can sing number 604.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.